and he scores his third win.
And Randleman is forced to say goodnight, Gracie.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
How cheesy that is. If you didn't know anything about television history, George Burns and Gracie Allen, you wouldn't know what that meant. Goodnight, Gracie. They were like on the TV, like in the 40s. Trying not to show my age here. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking at the world of mixed martial arts. You know, when my current guest is Art Davey, and he's got this book out called, of course, the Is This Legal? The Inside Story of the First UFC. But as I look at his picture of him here on the internet, he's sort of a cross between Lee Marvin and George Clooney, which is nothing bad, folks. I'm going to kid you not, but nothing bad. But he tells it like it is. He's a man that started the UFC back in the day, of course, 1993. I'm reading from the press release here. Is This Legal? The Inside Story of the First UFC from the man who created it. Of course, in November 12th, 1993. Now, 90 minutes before the show was supposed to go on the air, you still hadn't signed the contract?
You know, Pedro, like I said, it was a dogfight inside and outside the octagon. The night before in the fighters' meeting, Horion and Gracie and I really lost control of that meeting, and it might have degenerated into a brawl, except for when Kayla Tooley, the sumo wrestler, finally signed the release, slammed it down on the table, and said, "Hey, I'll be there tomorrow night to party. That's what I came here for. I'll see all you guys there." And then the next day, we still didn't have a signed agreement with our TV partner. And I had figured out that if we didn't sign that agreement, we couldn't do the broadcast that night. I was still pushing and angling for them to pay for the purses starting in the second show. I knew we were coming back. This was a franchise. And we paid for the purse, Horion and I, in the first show. So 90 minutes before the show, Pedro, we're still wrestling. We got the attorneys on the phone, and we're still going to the mat. And at the last minute, Bob Myrowitz from Semaphore Entertainment blinked, and he said, "All right, you got what you want. Let's go get this show and do it." So that's how it happened. But, boy, it was a dogfight right till the very end.
Okay, were you competing at all with Art Dorn and his Tough Man competition? Were there ever competition in that?
No, they were no more of a direct competitor to us than a house cat is to a leopard. I mean, you know, that was kind of a made for TV event. It came and went, and obviously after 21 years, and you see MMA all the way from Norway to Thailand, from Shanghai to Buenos Aires, MMA is the real deal.
You know, speaking of the real deal, we're talking with Art Davey, folks. The book is called Is This Legal? Ascend Books just released it as of July the 1st. We've got them on less than a week after the book is released, and we want to thank you for your time here on this Sunday. I know you've got other things to do, but Art Davey's a guest. Is This Legal? You know, the Pride Fighting Championships, I really like that 10-minute opening round. Being a former fighter myself, I sort of thought that was intestinal fortitude at its best. That was really the test of a guy, a 10-minute opening round. But in your initial tournaments, there was no time limit.
That's correct. What we had was, 5-minute rounds, and they were unlimited. It was going to go until there was a knockout or a submission. So, you know, there really were no rules for the first event. There was no biting, no eye gouging. And, the sport, though, evolved immediately. Right after UFC 1, the guys themselves started to cross-train. I remember between 3 and 4. Kimo Leopoldo showed up over at the Gracie Academy asking Horian Gracie if he can study jiu-jitsu. And before you know it, I was bringing in guys like Randy Couture, who were cross-training. This sport evolved right from the very beginning, Pedro. Also, the rules evolved. You know, by UFC 5, we were adding time limits, we were adding judging, we were adding gloves, weight classes. The sport and the athletes continue to evolve, and that's been the success of mixed martial arts, has been the organic evolution and then the tremendous support of the fans. Because when the media and the politicians got together and were trying to put the kibosh on MMA and the UFC, trying to ban it, it was the fans who in the early bulletin board days and later in the internet said, just like instead of saying, "I want my MTV," they said, "I want my MMA." And, you know, they're the ones who kept it really going.
Art Davey's on the line, folks. I think he's calling us from Sin City, Las Vegas. Are you down there for the Fan Expo?
Actually, I've got a ranch out here just about 50 miles outside of Vegas. And I've been at the International Fight Week and the UFC Fan Expo all week. Pedro. It's been really exciting over there. And this has been an incredible week for me and I think for the fans. Absolutely.
Okay, let's get a little more direct here with this question, with these questioning, folks. We'll get a little serious here. Now, Art Davies, our guest, I got to pose you this question. Is Zuffa Sports having basically bought everybody else out, all the major competitors out, World Extreme Cage Fighting, Strike Forces, and that, they've become a monopoly. Is that good for MMA?
Well, you know, I think that, you know, anything that you look at as a development has pluses and minuses to it. And I think the plus, in terms of Zuffa coming in 2001, getting the reality show on Spike in 2005, is they've helped to bring MMA to the mainstream. They've really pushed this sport forward in a way that has gained a great deal of mainstream and establishment acceptance. On the other hand, I hear from some of the fans at the Expo this weekend that, you know, is there too much domination by one brand? Okay. And in all fairness, that may be still to be determined because Bellator has Viacom as an investor, and they're on Spike. And now by bringing Scott Coker on board, it looks like Bellator is poised to give the UFC more competition. Look, the truth of the matter is that over the next 10 or 20 years, we're going to be amazed to see the promoters and the fighters that emerge. This sport is only beginning. Can you imagine what the champions from 20 years from now are going to be like? And who knows who might be the number one brand? When I was a young man coming up, IBM, with their mainframe and with their personal computers, was the dominant brand. And that changed.
Yep.
You know? And now you've got Apple as being one of the biggest corporations on planet Earth. Things change all the time. But MMA will be here forever.
The book is called Is This Legal? It's available right now at Amazon.com or AscendBooks.com. That's AscendBooks.com. It's just how it sounds, AscendBooks.com or Amazon.com. Now, I'd be excited. Is this your first book?
This is my first book, yes.
I mean, so how much prep went into this, or was this off out of memory?
Well, you know, a number of fans have said to me, Art, you must have had great notes. And Campbell McLaren, my old point man from SEG, called me recently, and we had a long talk, and he said, Art, he said, you remember more from 20 years ago than I remember from 2 years ago. Mm. And the truth of the matter is also that I saved all the paperwork, all the faxes, all the contracts. And as a guy from the ad business, anytime I used to meet with a client, I'd make notes. So I've got great records from those days. So 3 years ago, Sean Wheelock, the play-by-play commentator for Bellator, called me up and said, Art, I'm a big fan. I'd never met him before. He said, you and I got to do a book together. And Sean kept pushing on me and pushing on me. And he kept saying, we got to talk to this agent with that publisher. Before you know it, we wound up with a deal. And Sean did help me with a great amount of research on the book when I would come up with a particular statement or quote and saying that, you know, Jorge and Gracie had met, Gene LaBelle on a heart-to-heart episode. What year was that? It'd be Sean that would nail that down. He also was a great editor. So this was a wonderful process. I really began writing the book hard last November and completed it in April. And I got to tell you, it was one of the funnest experiences of my life. True story.
The book is called Is This Legal? The True Story, of course, of the first UFC. Speaking of the first UFC, we're with Art Davey. He is the author extraordinaire, the man, of course, that brought us the UFC in its conception back in 1993. Could Royce Gracie compete at his weight class in today's UFC world?
You know, you brought that up before, and I'm glad you did. You know, in all fairness, the sport has continued to evolve. And you look at the athletes today. Every time I go to a show, I was in an amateur show Thursday night, Tough Enough, over at the Texas station here in Sin City. And I got to tell you, you look at the amateurs today, they look like the pros of 5 to 7 years ago. Mm-hmm. So I think to answer your question, I think Royce today would have a hard time. And you remember when he finally came back to the Octagon after 11 years and got in there with Matt Hughes? Quite frankly, you could see that the sport had evolved, and in a sense, perhaps Royce's game had not.
Okay. Who do you think the best fighter in the world is as far as the world of the UFC alone is concerned? Who do you think is the best?
Well, right now, you know, I'm a big fan of John Jones and Ronda Rousey. These two, I think, typify what men and women in the sport are supposed to be about, the kind of skills they bring, the kind of dedication they bring, the kind of commitment. And as I said, who knows what we're going to be looking at in 20 years, because, you know, at one time I heard that Major League Baseball sent a team over to China, and they found 40 guys who could throw a fastball faster than 90 miles an hour. So can you imagine what we'll find in places like China or India or Sandusky, Ohio, or Brooklyn, you know, in the next 20 years? I think it's going to be extraordinary who will be coming up and coming on.
Okay. Now, you were with the early part of the UFC. I'm sure you saw some guys you thought were on banned substances or prohibited steroids, things like that, right? Didn't you see some of that, I mean, to your naked eye?
Well, you know, there's no doubt about it that early on it wasn't just the bodybuilders who were using the vitamin S, as Horian Gracie used to call it back in the day. And early on, I was proud of the fact that I did AIDS testing in the first UFC when a lot of boxing promoters weren't. Mm-hmm. And later on, we had hepatitis B and C. But we never got in all the 5 years that I was involved in being the booker and the matchmaker in testing for steroids. It's gotten a lot more sophisticated today. It's a real problem in the industry, in the sport. And back in the day, to answer your question, I think not only steroids, but human growth hormone was being used and taken.
Well, this is what Dana White had to say about legalized steroids. He's talking about testosterone replacement therapy.
When you really break it down and you look at it, it's science. You know, as you get older, your testosterone starts to get lower. Science has figured out a way to get it back up to even. But in like all things, when money is involved, people will find ways to cheat. And even though this thing is legal, people have figured out how to cheat on it, so it has to go away. What it is it ruins good fighters. Once you get on this stuff or any type of steroid, you can't get off it. You have to continue to use it, because once you start using it, your body stops producing it like it did before. So it's definitely not good for you. It's meant for 45, 50-year-old men. That's what it's meant for. It's not meant for young, well-conditioned athletes.
Dana White on testosterone replacement therapy, which for years I call legalized cheating. What's your stance on that, Art Davey? Should testosterone replacement therapy be part of combat sports?
You know, I align myself with Dana on that issue. I think he's right on in terms of how he's seeing it. It does constitute a form of cheating. And I think even in the bigger picture that we have to be and remain aware of is that this is not good for the athlete. And I've noticed in my experience that there's a development of the muscle and tendon, but there tends to be a brittleness when it comes to bones. I used to see more injuries along those lines. And once your body starts accepting this, it doesn't produce it as much. It's really bad mojo. It's really bad mojo. Dana's right about that. And yet, if there's money involved and if a guy thinks that it'll give him a 5% edge, he's going to take it.
That is
the problem.
The man started a billion-dollar industry. I'm talking about the UFC. His name is Art Davey. The book is out. Art Davey and Sean Wheeler combining for this fantastic book. Is This Legal? The Inside Story of the First UFC. It's at Amazon.com, of course, AscendBooks.com. Straight up, it's a fantastic book. Mr. Davey, I thank you so much for your time, sir. You've been a great, great experience for me.
Hey, Joe, it's a pleasure. And I got to tell you something. Fans out there, if you really want to know how the sport began, this is a good way to get a handle on the sport that you love. And like I said, it's available at both Amazon.com and AscendBooks.com. Really appreciate your time today, Pedro.
The great Art Davey, the creator of the UFC, live on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, the iHeartRadio Network, and the American Forces Network.